As of now, Putin is making the final decision, and they've telegraphed this publicly on state-run media, of attacking Poland first, attacking military bases and weapons factories that are supplying the glide bombs, the cruise missiles, and other systems. And of course, there's a lot of other NATO countries producing the weapons. Most of the weapons are now not produced in Ukraine, and NATO, through U.S. satellites and GPS, is directing the weapons, and Western military technicians are aiming and firing the weapons on the ground as well. And under the rules of war, I don't want this to happen, but under the rules of war, Russia has stated, and it's true, that they are within their rights to begin striking. Now, I don't normally buy NATO propaganda, because most of the time they're lying. But if you remember back in October, 5 years ago, 3 months before the war started in February, I went on air and I said, I believe Russia will invade by late February. And I said that in October, November, December, January, about 4 or 5 months before it happened. And I nailed it. Russia invaded on the 22nd. And there were thousands of data points and tracking the Russians and actually looking at third-party assessments of them massing troops in Western Russia on the border of Eastern Ukraine and movements in Belarus as well to the north. And I said, I believe that if NATO doesn't make a deal, this is the final red line for the Russians. They are going to invade. And of course, history shown I was right. Now, talking to Victor Boot on the air, who's a big Russian insider, and talking to people I know in the Pentagon that I trust, as of now, Putin is making the final decision, and they've telegraphed this publicly on state-run media, of attacking Poland first, attacking military bases and weapons factories that are supplying the glide bombs, the cruise missiles, and other systems. And of course, there's a lot of other NATO countries producing the weapons. Most of the weapons are now not produced in Ukraine. And NATO, through U.S. satellites and GPS, is directing the weapons. And Western military technicians are aiming and firing the weapons on the ground as well. And under the rules of war, I don't want this to happen, but under the rules of war, Russia has stated, and it's true, that they are within their rights to begin striking. They've been warning for several years they're going to do that. But now they've been massing nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, in Belarus in the north, in Western Russia, on the eastern side of Ukraine, and in many other areas, putting missile cruisers into the surrounding seas and upping their nuclear doctrine and threatening that if they do hit bomb and missile bases and artillery munitions bases in Poland, the main staging ground, not just for production, but also for shipments out of other areas of Europe, the U.S., that then if there are any counterstrikes, Russia has set under rules of war, under the threat escalatory ladder, that they are then going to use tactical nuclear weapons. Within hours in most war games, if not minutes, NATO and the U.S. will then hit Russian missile fields and missile bases in Russia. And within minutes to hours, we will be in a full nuclear war. Now, all the major think tanks, all the major war colleges, Rand Corporation, the Pentagon, the Russians, the Chinese, NATO. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazole, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazole is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Well, I'm being joined now by Shannon Joy for the second hour of the War Room Live Friday, August 7th, 2026. Shannon Joy is an independent broadcaster, podcaster, and videocaster. She launched her daily show 13 years ago and has grown from radio station in Rochester, New York, to national self-syndication, featured today on Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, iHeartRadio, and every major podcast platform in America. Her daily commentary delivers millions of views each month and features some of the most prolific voices in America's independent liberty movement. You're an organizer, activator. You speak passionately about localized and individual resistance to tyranny from her platforms. Routinely talk to Naomi Wolf and others, Ron DeSantis, Congressman Thomas Massey, Peter Schiff, Daniel Horowitz, Ed Dowd, and Patrick Wood, and more. Thank you so much for joining me. And I wanted to talk to you about domestic issues, domestic policy, because I'm really a foreign policy guy. I do like geopolitics and war most of the time, especially like stuff in Ukraine, stuff in Iran. But really, like, I was a very passionate supporter of the president, Shannon. Like, that was, that's kind of the big thing for me. That's kind of where I'm at, why I'm so angry / confused. I think you talk about this a lot domestically. People are outraged and upset, not just about what's happening around the world, what's happening here at home. We have, you know, the signaling of RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement, and now we kind of get mRNA flu vaccine, and we get a new head of the CDC. We have Trump saying his poll numbers are invincible. It's amazing, and they're rock bottom. Shannon, what do you think about the state of where we're at right now?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show with you. I've been watching you. You're doing such a great job, and I understand the disappointment, the frustration, the you know, craziness regarding, you know, where Donald Trump has taken this administration, particularly in you know, his second term. And I think it's why we're seeing plummeting approval numbers, not just among Democrats, but among independents. I think the latest four or five polls have shown a 34% to 35% approval rating among Americans, which is the lowest approval rating since President Nixon, right before he was impeached. It's why we're seeing an exodus of independent conservatives from the GOP and MAGA, led by people like Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene, your dad, yourself, Tucker Carlson. A lot of discussion about a new independent party because people are so frustrated by the betrayals of this administration. And it's not just foreign policy. I mean, you mentioned the war in Iran, that is, you know, after promising no new wars, ending the conflict in Ukraine. Now, not only is that promise broken, it's also having devastating impacts on every American's ability to put food on the table. The closing and the opening of the Strait of Hormuz, the ending and starting of the war, pumping and dumping all the way down, insider trading with every announcement that comes out from this administration. It's highly volatile, unpredictable. You can't operate in an economy like that or a country like that because you never know what's going to happen. And it's leading to massive, massive pain for American families. The skyrocketing energy prices, the skyrocketing food prices. We have inflation. We have inflation from the tariff actions that the president has taken. Now he's reimbursing because his tariffs were struck down in courts across the country. They're now reimbursing massive
corporations. Well, this is a key point.
This is a key point.
I want to come in here because if the tariffs were written slightly differently, they would have been legal. They were struck down. Mm. Who wrote the tariffs? Lutnick wrote the tariffs, and on record, him or his family, they're involved making billions of dollars off them being struck down. So it's this thing as to where, like, yeah. I see where you're going with this, and I agree. You look at the whole aspect of you pay me $100,000 a month and you get prior notification of what I'm going to say. Is that not an admission, like outright admission of market manipulation?
It is unprecedented in this country to have the president of the United States of America so blatantly engaging in insider trading and market manipulation. And there are probably 100 examples of this president, from, you know, the Melania coin to the Trump coin to some of the other crypto scams that they have run. The preferential treatment of his kids, Jared Kushner, getting sweetheart deals to rebuild in Gaza. I mean, the list is breathtaking. And while certainly other administrations, Democratic administrations, Biden, Pelosi, the Clintons engaged in a lot of this activity, they at least did it quietly under the radar so as to not be caught. So what's very different about this administration is that you are seeing a normalization of criminal activity coming from the White House. And you can be certain that the next Democrat administration that takes the White House will not only use this as precedent, but will also abuse it as well.
Yes.
And so go ahead.
No, that's the whole thing, right? Is I get told that I'm bad because I'm angry that the party that I voted for didn't hold up their end of the bargain. When by them not holding up their end of the bargain, they're guaranteeing power to the other side. That's literally what it is. And they're creating that power and the precedent for it. What do you think?
That is an absolutely appropriate point. And you're seeing this most recently. We talked about the poll numbers, the threat of Democrats winning the midterm elections, taking back the House and the Senate is very, very real. But, you know, we've witnessed over the past 12 months, Donald Trump taking out some of the brightest stars in the Republican Party, people like Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene, breaking almost every promise that he made to his constituency, which is leading to a mass exodus from the party. This is all going to impact those midterm elections. And Axios just came out with a report a couple days ago. They talked to insiders in the Trump administration close to President Trump. And those insiders told Axios reporters that Donald Trump doesn't care about losing the midterms, that he is going to focus the last 2 years of his administration on what they termed unprecedented executive actions and mass pardoning. So he's going to pardon his cronies like Lutnick, his children, you know, corporations and corporate partners close to his administration. And these are going to be mass pardons, again, setting a horrifying precedent for the next Democrat administration that comes in and abuses that. And but he doesn't care. So that leads you to ask the question, like, what does he know or what do they know that we don't know? Why doesn't it seem to matter? None of the answers are good. And, you know, this is now going to impact. I think that this could be the nail in the coffin for the GOP for decades to come. I don't know that they come back from this. This is why, by the way, that Tucker Carlson is very obviously putting together a new political coalition. And you saw that the picture that was released a couple days ago. There it is. Tom Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Joe Kent, Tucker Carlson, and their spouses. That is very clearly an indication. And there is a lot of power in that room in terms of their reach, their ability to raise money, their you know, finger on the pulse of regular Americans and what they're experiencing. And so the GOP should not feel as if they have nothing to lose here and they have the power of the presidency and that the Trump star is going to shine forever. They are losing the base. And quite frankly, Rex, I think that they deserve it. I think we need something new.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for sure, because they said, like, you're going to get tired of winning, right? Well, like, if this is what winning means, and we are tired of it because we're not winning, we're losing. And you can't tell us that it's raining when you're doing something else to us very clearly. And like, nobody is doing better unless they own like a $1 million house. And then he thinks he can go out there and say, it's a good thing that that $1 million house became a $1.2 million house, because it means that my voter base, you know, the 80-year-old people will support me. And it's like, well, you have to do things for the people in the country that are trying to build still. There's not really a path up that ladder. It feels like a lot of people feel like the ladder was pulled up. And I think Trump, in his first term, really represented a guy that didn't start new wars, a guy that did lower taxes, a guy that made a lot of economic mobility possible for people. And that was my assumption coming back into the second Trump term, because I said, look, I'm a small business owner. I've been a small business owner at the time for 4 years, now for 6 years, right? I've been doing this forever. If I get Trump back in, it's going to mean things are better. Under Biden, things have been horrible. And, you know, we get that initial period of that economic recovery, and I'm like, great. And then we get wars of choice. We get spending of choice to say, hey, we have to do a $1.5 trillion defense budget. Hey, we got to give $500 billion to OpenAI. Hey, we got to do X, Y, Z, but never anything for us. What do you think the American people wanted the most domestically at home that they're not getting?
I think that today it is economic relief. And right. It is an end to the corruption, an end to the market manipulation, an end to the building of monopolies and the creation of the monopolies. We saw very, very clearly in the summer of 2024 that Donald Trump, in order to push his campaign across the finish line, made two critical alliances. The first was with the big tech bros. So the techno-fascists, people like Peter Thiel, the founder of Palantir, and also, you know, many of the other Elon Musk and you know, that Silicon Valley lobbying organization came in and they dumped a ton of money into his campaign in the summer of 24. But it wasn't quite enough, Rex. They needed the quote unquote MAHA movement, which I believe was a psyop. I don't believe that the MAHA movement was organic. I believe that MAHA was created and designed to break apart the medical freedom movement, which was the other major, major impact.
Let's talk about
the Biden
that.
Administration. Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
But just to
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Really,
I was going to say to put up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, that was very clearly the way that he got over the finish line. And it has impacted everything that he has done, especially regarding the expansion of techno-fascism, the data centers, the surveillance state, all of these really creepy, you know, techno-fascist initiatives. All of that has to do with them purchasing his presidency in the summer. So we could absolutely go on to talk about MAHA and medical freedom too, because COVID-19 should have been a clue to us.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. So this is a key point. I haven't thought about it for a period of time, but you're absolutely right now that I think about it. You have Dr. Zelenko, you have this huge movement on the, like, just like you say, like medical freedom side of things, people saying, hey, we weren't given informed consent. What the hell is this thing? Like very, very passionately, not just about COVID, but about just all the mRNA technology, all about the vaccines. And then you kind of get this mainstream fusion attitude towards it. Now, RFK Jr. says glyphosate is amazing. It's a matter of national security. He won a $270 million lawsuit against Monsanto in which he proved it caused cancer. And now we have to have it.
Well, and this goes to the... You do feel as if you're being gaslit in some ways, because we're experiencing elected officials, political leaders who have built a lifetime of work on certain initiatives and issues and principles, and we're watching them do complete 180s, and it's getting worse and worse and worse as every week or month passes by. But you know, the medical freedom movement, you know, what we've seen from this presidency, from the Trump presidency, is two massive rounds of redistribution of wealth out of the middle class and the productive class of the United States of America, small to medium sized businesses, into the 1 or 2%. So an elite corporate class. Now, that was one of the most horrifying aspects of the lockdown of 2020, which, by the way, Donald Trump initiated. It was his declaration of emergency that set in motion everything that happened in 2020 and then during the Biden administration. So that emergency declaration and then the HHS medical emergency declaration and the passage of the PREP Act set in place a horrific, horrific series of military countermeasures, interventions. So the forced masking, the social distancing, the lockdown, the declaration of essential versus non-essential businesses, the mass censorship, the deplatforming, and then what ultimately became the rollout of an experimental mRNA technology along with nationwide mandates that were not stopped by either administration that ended up poisoning, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans. I mean, we still have, this is insane, Rex. In VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. As of today, there have been 1.6 million COVID adverse events reported, 39,000 deaths, and 223,000 hospitalizations. Now, that's on top of VSafe data, which is the most pristine data you can find in the rollout of a vaccine, and Pfizer's early data, its own clinical study data, which was detailed in Naomi Wolf's great work when she rolled, went through those Pfizer data sets. But we have now what appears to be a mass poisoning, a mass death event here in this country. And the election of Donald Trump in 24, with his inauguration in 25, was supposed to deliver a referendum and a reckoning for that. That was the whole point of Bobby Kennedy Jr. joining his campaign. That was the whole point of MAHA. That was what Donald Trump needed to cross that finish line. And they have betrayed every single promise. This administration isn't even interested in acknowledging the 1.6 million people who have reported injury from these vaccines, which are still on the market, which this president still continues to say was one of his greatest accomplishments.
He's the father of the vaccine.
And to make it even worse, Rex, just a couple days ago, the Mfluvisa, the mRNA 1010, it is a new mRNA version of the flu shot. It was approved by the FDA and is now going to be rolled out and recommended for adults 50 plus. And this thing is a nightmare, Rex. I mean, we already have Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Mary Telly Bowden, Mary Holland of Children's Health Defense, Retsif Levy, Robert Malone, all speaking out against this rollout. It's atrocious. Here are some of just the top concerns. And this came from Dr. Peter McCullough. It has an extremely high adverse reaction rate, even higher than the mRNA COVID vaccine. 75% rate of adverse reactions. He's saying most recipients are going to get sick after this shot. Severe systemic reactions were 4 times more common than with the traditional flu shot. McCullough describes this as consistent with the mRNA being a more dangerous vaccine platform. And I mean, there are a whole other host of issues with this. But not only are we not studying the mechanisms of harm, why mRNA platforms are harming Americans, we're expanding them under this administration. So it almost appears as if we are in a COVID 2.2 situation where this president is acting on behalf of handlers or some type of lobby organization or oligarchical organization and doing the bidding of entities that are openly hostile at this point to every single American, not just domestically with the rollout of these new shots and the recommendations, but also, in terms of foreign policy and what they're doing with the war in Iran. By the way, Rex, you must have heard about the draft simulation that is now being prepared, a request for a proposal or a request, an RFX for tech companies to deliver to the administration a draft simulation that would essentially role play the rollout of a massive nationwide draft to assemble a fighting force for boots on the ground in Iran. So then they're now coming after our boys potentially our girls. Thank you, John McCain. Yep. Like, this is rapidly spinning out of control. And this is why so many Americans, I think, are becoming very alarmed. I'm sorry to bloviate there.
No, you're good. The boil down I give is it's not what we voted for. Like, this is the whole thing. We're not mad at Trump because we're mad at Trump. We're mad because he didn't do what he promised to do. Everyone that's still involved in the cult of personality, they don't get that because they worship him so much. They're incapable of looking at it objectively. Whereas if you look at it objectively, just look at your life. Unless you're heavily leveraged in the stock market and own a bunch of defense and like semiconductor stock, you're doing pretty bad right now. Seriously. Right. And for the subset of people that are doing well right now, it's a Ponzi scheme. It won't last. It can't continue. Talk about that aspect. Got like 2 minutes left. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, yeah, the debt is the other big, massive elephant in the room, the debt and deficit spending. We just had the United States of America try to bail out the yen. The yen typically, was the way that our treasury bonds were purchased and pick all. Everything is pointing towards some type of economic or financial calamity. And this is because nothing has ever changed. I mean, we've been engaging in profligate spending, the expansion of governments, monopoly creation, crony capitalism, insider trading for the better part of 25 years. And they just keep piling the one debt upon another. And so now as things are beginning to fall apart geopolitically, and new alliances are being built, we're getting squeezed here in the U.S. The dollar is getting squeezed. It looks more and more like there's no way that we're going to be able to avoid some type of economic calamity. And that's very dangerous, too, because that creates instability. It creates a lot of pain. It could be another COVID type situation where the crisis is so bad. The crisis they created is so bad that the government has to take action. Maybe they declare an emergency. Maybe they then roll out the digital ID and the digital currency, which is way worse than any type of fiat currency we're using now, because it's programmable, it's trackable, it's traceable, surveillable, and also confiscatable. It's the worst of all worlds. And we know that the president with the tech bros is working on creating some type of private banking digital currency, some type of private mechanism to totally reshape our currency. Of course, we're going to get screwed, completely screwed if that happens. And so there's just a lot there. You know, they're hitting us from every angle. It's very hard for Americans right now to kind of figure all of this out. It's what we try to do on the show every day. I'm white knuckled on this roller coaster with all of you, because everything that we are getting from this administration, the left-wing news media, Democrat politicians, and right-wing politicians, it's all lies. They're all
totally
lies.
And it's all problem, reaction, solution. Phenomenal points. Yes. We'll be right back after this break. Shannon Joy. Yeah. Everybody needs to share this right now. People need to know what you know. Let people know you're watching us on the War Room Live, Alex Jones Network, Rex Jones, Shannon Joy, right back after this break.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Yeah, we're here in the middle of the second hour of the War Room, August 7th. 2026, Rex Jones, Shannon Joy, just kind of wondering where it all went wrong. Because in 2024, there's this big resurgence. We were all happy about getting our country back. Maha, anti-war, peace president, all this stuff. And the stunning reversal, where, Shannon, do you think it started? Where was Trump's deviation from what he originally planned on doing and was doing to where we're at now? Where do you think that started for you?
Well, one of the areas that I differed in opinion from most of the medical freedom community in MAHA in the 2024 election was supporting Trump again as the candidate. I began to think, we saw in the first administration of Donald Trump some good things happening in those first few years. Some of them were marginal, not enough from my perspective as a fiscal conservative and a constitutional conservative. But it was in the spring of 2020, the last year of the Donald Trump presidency, that I became convinced that he was no longer of agency, that there was something much larger than Donald Trump pulling the strings behind his administration and influencing him and impacting his decision making. And right. So I think it was with those lockdowns set in motion one of the most devastating impact events in American history, more impactful even than an atom bomb hitting this country or the Twin Towers on 9/11. because, you know, the lockdowns were essentially, you know, just issuing in a mass transfer of wealth from the middle class and the poor to this elite 1%. I want to say there were 300 new billionaires created in just the first year. And so, right. You know, when and you know, the other impacts as well. I mean, if you want to go back and look at 2020, there were really, really bad things that Trump put in place. First, the National Declaration of Emergency, which set everything in motion, and deployed the NSA. So that was when everything became a military operation. So it wasn't Trump making decisions or Fauci making decisions or Deborah Birx making decisions. Health agencies were not making their own decisions. They were taking orders from a Pentagon-led military deployment. So this was an international military operation. And this is very well detailed in the COVID dossier by Debbie Lerman and Sasha Latapova, which people can find on their Substacks. They have all the receipts for this, but most Americans don't know that that was a military deployment. So everything that we experienced from the military lockdowns, operation, the shutdown of hospitals, was a military operation. And it is still in place today. That emergency health declaration has not been lifted by Bobby Kennedy Jr. as head of HHS. He knows he can lift it. He knows he can end the emergency. And Rex, the problem is when we are in a national health emergency, essentially the military countermeasures can impact and harm any American in any way. And the agencies deploying them will never face any type of liability because we're acting, we're in a war theater. And right. In a war theater, if we're at war with a virus or at war with you know, some type of health threat, then they can quarantine you. They can force vaccinate you. They can lock you down. They can seize your assets. They can censor you. They can poison millions, and nothing can be done. This is why we've had such a terrible time getting any type of relief or even compensation for the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Americans who were impacted in a terrible way. That it's not even just the shots, Rex. It's the hospital lockdowns and the COVID kill protocols. The, you know, the remdesivir, the ventilators, the lack of nutrition. I mean, everything that happened to thousands of patients on COVID floors. I mean, it was an atrocity. Right. And that's all now built in to the legal infrastructure.
It's about
and the legislative. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's about the emergency powers. And it's about the fact that it's like you say, war on drugs, war on terror, war on COVID, all these. Once the government gets the power, they never give it back, ever. And I think Trump likes the idea of wielding authority. And they say, sir, we can increase your authority by doing this. And he takes the deal. I think that's why ultimately he's ended up being a capstone for the system, because prior, the person either had to be, you know, just a creature of the system itself and just served it as part of their nature. Now they have that guy with that outsider credibility who comes in. And he's like, yeah, if you let me remake this system in my own image, you can absolutely run it. And really, if you look at it, Trump, his success comes from branding, advertising, and marketing, right? He puts his name on things. So I think for him, they say, sir, we have to do this. He says, well, people know it's me doing it. They say, oh, we'll make sure of it. And then I think he shakes the hand, takes the deal.
Absolutely. No, I think we're dealing with a puppet presidency. I'm equally critical of the Biden administration. That was a puppet presidency as well. I think that more and more Americans are beginning to realize, it's becoming very clear that the majority of our elected officials, left or right, are not of agency. They are taking orders to some extent or another for whatever reason. And there are a lot of reasons that people become corrupted. And people who were not corrupted when they went into office can also become corrupted when they're in office from a variety of ways, right? So as American citizens, we have to know them by their fruit, and we have to base our support not on what they say, not on how we feel, not on what we hope for or wish for in terms of trusting a plan or 12-dimensional chess. We need to be basing our opinions and whether or not we're going to continue with our support and our consent on what we're actually seeing. What is actually happening? And every single American today felt the impact of the COVID lockdowns in every aspect of their life.
100%.
Mental, physical, economic. And today, every American is experiencing the impact of this administration's profligate spending, the continuation of that spending, the trillion-dollar deficits, and the exercises in war making in the Middle East. It's devastating. Right. American households.
It's a COVID choice. It's a COVID right. choice. That's the whole thing. You can say, of course, the first COVID was a COVID choice as well, which I would agree with. But this truly is a, you know, the initial 39 days of the war, we spend over half our interceptor missiles. Right. You spend over $100 billion. And when they throw these numbers at you, like $113 billion, whatever, you're like, okay, it is what it is. All our bases are gone. All our radar is gone. Most of our offensive and defensive munitions are gone. Our soldiers are gone. They're dead. I guess their lives don't matter, right? The real cost of this war is going to come out to be, if you include the American lives and include the military equipment, it's going to end up being $500 billion. You know, and here's the thing. You talk way more. I'm just being conservative. Talk about Biden and how we criticized him and how we talked about Hunter Biden, all the corruption, all the fraud, like you say, puppet president. This is the same exact thing. You don't get the right to do it just because somebody else did it. And I think that's kind of the attitude in Washington. It's like, oh, well, they're corrupt. Auto pen. Notice how you don't hear that anymore. Notice how Fauci, even though he violated his pardon, that's not going to be revoked. That's not going to be called into question because they're worried, as they've said, as Trump has said over and over again, the pardon is the most powerful thing a president has. They keep saying it because he plans on, this is my speculation. I want to see what you think. Do you think they plan on mass pardons on like the last day?
Absolutely. This is what his administration has been signaling for many weeks. And as far as the Axios piece is concerned, this should really frighten Americans to consider that this president doesn't care about losing midterms. He doesn't care about his approval ratings. What does he know that we don't know? What are they planning that we don't know about? Now, in addition to unprecedented pardoning, he also is signaling that he is going to engage in an unprecedented use of executive action, which could be declaring new emergencies. It could be locking us down again. It could be starting new wars anywhere. I mean, it's just that it's the acceleration of the instability should be very troubling to everyone. And, you know, understanding what they might have in store for us in the second 2 years of the administration is not good. And this is why, by the way, I really advocate that Rex, we haven't even talked about the data centers and the flock cameras and the surveillance state. And like, I mean, there are so many things happening and it's happening so fast. The creation of the infrastructure of the technocratic police state. I mean, should be on the forefront of every American right now because they're building that out very rapidly.
Well, hold on. He's the father of the vaccine. He's the peace president. He's also the AI president. That's what you're talking about here. Explain, you know, the idea of flock cameras, these mass data centers. Some of these places are like 62 square miles in size. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, just like I know that you have a really good perspective on how the American people feel about that. Is that what they voted for?
No. And you are seeing this happening with bottom-up organization, left and right, regular Americans, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are knocking out the data centers and the flock cameras all across the United States of America. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Americans do not want a surveillance state. And for the first time in my 13 years of running my show, I'm seeing more and more Americans caring about privacy, really beginning to understand how important privacy is. They aren't comfortable now with constant surveillance and the drone surveillance and the flock cameras. And they're beginning to realize that the build out of these data centers is more about Donald Trump's payback to the Silicon Valley tech bros who put him into office, who have a frankly maniacal and insane agenda to essentially create a global technocratic police state.
Right.
The hub of that existing in the United States of America, where they turn our country into a parking lot for Manhattan-sized data centers, which will be the data processing centers for all of the surveillance information that they will be collecting on every American citizen and perhaps every global citizen. They will surveil every blade of grass. They will surveil every human being. They are talking about biometric surveillance, where Americans will be on wearables, which will be collecting data about what's happening inside of your bodies. We know that Elon Musk is obsessed with Neuralink. That is the chip that is implanted in your body that can interface with systems. We're seeing the build out of 5G. Donald Trump is now talking about 6 and 7G. The health impact of the 5G alone is jarring and devastating to so many Americans. They are going to expand that. It's almost as if they're a death cult. Like, well, I kid you not.
Hold on. Yeah. They got 6, 7G coming up. We got 6, 7.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes. A recent press conference, Donald Trump talked about 6G as a fait accompli. And I've seen some reporting on 7G as well. So these people are dangerous. When I talk about personally, you know, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, these guys are, I think, are front facing. I think they are. I think some of these young buck tech bros who are just so brilliant that they create these massive companies. I don't, Sam Altman types. I don't think that they're actually that brilliant. I think that they are front facing, but they are the front facing pitchmen for the most evil dystopian political ideology I have ever reported on in my life. Like, this puts communism, socialism, fascism, totalitarianism, all of the isms to shame, because the technocracy or techno-fascism essentially rejects God, creation of God. They don't believe that there's a God. They believe actually that they're gods, that through the advancement of technology and through the advancement of AI and then AI sentience, that they can create and destroy life, and that they should have the power to create and destroy life. And that, because we've seen systems put in place, monarchies failed, democracies failed, all the other political ideologies failed. They now say that we, because everything else failed, we need to create this new ideology where everything is controlled by an elite group of technocratic planners. And essentially, they have everything and we have nothing. It's the Great Reset, only a million times worse, because it involves essentially just the complete destruction of humanity and human life as we know it.
Right. I got a clip for this. I got clip number 18, the coming AI future. And this is just a demonstration, right? Because it's just an Optimus robot with the popcorn machine. The guy is like, oh, give me popcorn. He pulls the thing back. So the robot has his hand out. Robot takes his hand back. He gives him the popcorn. The robot makes the popcorn. And just play the video on 1.5 speed, guys, so we can play it quickly. And the robot's like, oh, I'm going to give you the popcorn. No, I'm not. What happens when that's your power? What happens when that's your food?
Right.
What happens when that's your kids? That's what's coming. And no AI regulation for a decade, for an entire decade straight. No AI regulation. Maybe talk about that a little bit more.
Yes. So that is very similar to the immunity granted to pharmaceutical corporations and health agencies and also governmental systems when they rolled out the COVID shots and the COVID protocols, right? So they are essentially granting immunity, liability protection to pharma companies. They're expanding that now to other pharmaceutical companies and chemical companies, as exemplified by the glyphosate case. But they also did that for AI and technology. And this is, I believe Donald Trump did issue a national declaration of emergency regarding the AI arms race. And so I think that that's how they accomplished this. I could be wrong, but
another
if I remember war. Correctly,
another crisis.
War, another declaration, right? So then you get to strip all liability and all responsibility away from these AI companies. So anything in the realm of implementing AI or rolling out of AI, they're even trying to use eminent domain to shut down some of the local resistance to the build out of the data centers. And there are rumors that they will declare another emergency for the build out of the data centers. So they'll basically say, we don't care what you think in your community. We don't care if you don't want that in your backyard.
National
because
security.
We're in an AI, exactly. We're in an AI arms race with China. It's a national security agenda item, and you got nothing. Like, and no one is safe. And these data centers are horrifying. So, but you know, Rex, no one's talking about this. Like Fox News, right-wing news media, Republicans are not talking about this. And the left-wing news media really isn't talking a whole lot about this, except for in, you know, slightly partisan ways within the context of a limited hangout. But this is like a huge, huge looming threat, and it's domestic, right? It's not, you know, foreign invading armies or Islamic terrorists or roving bands of migrants in inner city streets that are really threatening Americans. It's our own government.
Everything you just listed is symptomatic, and they do it, and they don't want to fix the problem because the problem for them is the solution because they need the reaction. And that's what it is.
It is. It's just amazing to me that we know this. A lot of us know this and are waking up to it, but we are still just mired in this two-party political paradigm. I'm of the opinion that these two parties are not different at all. Not even a little bit. They work together in tandem to continue to push these larger agendas and create the illusion of a choice for Americans so that we by default give our consent. Every time we shuffle into an election booth and pull the lever for the donkey or the elephant, we're lending our consent to a kabuki theater operation that I think has been in operation for the past 25, 30, maybe 40 years. I don't think that we've had real choices in terms of federal elections in maybe since 1963 and the assassination of JFK. Some people, you know, will put it back to that point. So we have to figure out as an American public how to rage against this machine and fight back and win outside of the ballot box. And that doesn't mean you can't run candidates, that you can't engage in the activity of running candidates and participating in elections. But I think we need to have less focus on that and way more focus on organizational activity from the bottom up at the ground level, at the local level, and beginning to develop organizations who can push back and say no. So peaceful noncompliance. Civil disobedience,
I
refusal
totally agree.
To comply with unjust laws is I think that's where I think where we're going to have to go moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got like 3:30 left on the clock. This is what I always like to say, and this is my invention. I created this. You're not a donkey. You're not an elephant. You're a human being. I like to add I like to add the F word before human being to emphasize the point. Here's the thing. Yeah. They got you on a political plantation, whether you're on the left or the right. Here's the thing. Chucky Schumer, Mr. Can't Grill a Hamburger, he struck down the War Powers Resolution, right? So they're all complicit. It's all the same thing. And the reality is they want to tell you you can't affect change. Look at what happened with Trump in 2016. In 2014, I was in the newsroom. I was watching Fox News. Nobody thought Trump was going to run. Nobody thought he was going to do it until he came down that escalator. Nobody thought he could beat Jeb Bush, much less Hillary Clinton.
Right. I remember.
And that really is the model. And we can look at it and even say, well, what went wrong there? You can have a lot more information from that. That's what I always point to. We got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. Your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the tragedy of the Trump phenomenon was that He was either already part of the system when he came in, a Trojan horse candidate who came in to direct a movement, or he was unable to deliver on what he said he could do. And so, again, you're right. It was the culture. It was a dissatisfaction among a large enough group of Americans in the way things were going in our country that led to the elevation of Trump. Those people haven't changed. I think he's the one who has changed. Maybe he always was changed. We don't know. No one can ever know for sure what happened and when that change came. But I think the lesson there, though, is that when we put all of our eggs in one basket, one person to do all of the saving, all of the fighting, then we're going to be disappointed. Because from my perspective, everyone who enters Washington, D.C., for the most part, 99.9% of them become corrupted. It's almost impossible to actually achieve for good in D.C. So we've got to try to replicate that, but do that outside of D.C. in all of the 50 states through coalition building and finding each other based on common principles and common values. And frankly, I mean, there are crazies on the right and crazies on the left, but Rex, most Americans, Democrat or Republican, are pretty similar. Like, we kind of just want to be left alone. We would like to have a decent economy with a little bit of predictability. We would like to be able to pursue happiness and not, face the prospect of our sons and daughters being sent to some godforsaken war, being shot up with some poison technology, and just go about our business. And I think that's where we need to start. We need to start there and then build out. But we have quite a battle ahead of us, I think.
Phenomenal points. Where can people find you?
Thank you so much. So the SJ Show broadcasts every day for 90 minutes live, starting about 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm on all of the different platforms. So I'm on Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, Substack, YouTube, TikTok. we're everywhere. And I'm also, people can listen every day at their leisure on all of the podcast platforms. So just go to theshannonjoy.com. That's my website, and get all my platforms. Or follow me on Twitter. That's a great place to go, at Shannon Joy Radio. That's where I do all of my show prep. The show is live there every day. And you guys are great. I've been really enjoying you, Rex, and everything that you're doing. And I'm really glad to see the direction you guys are taking things, because I think you're right on
point.
Thank you so much. So keep up the great work. Yeah.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.